Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. A three-hour banger lined up today live in Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Tons of guests. We will talk about the Valspar Championship today, PGA Tour. Jeff Seely on the program coming up in 30 minutes with his best bets. Survivor strategy, Adam Burke for the Madness coming up in an hour. Mike Palm thinks the wrong team is favored in a first-round game 90 minutes from now. Bruce Marshall with his best bets for the opening round coming up in a few hours. And Matt Eumanns, the same exact thing, Paulie. It was good to get the Madness underway last night. You never know how these games are going to go. They can take off with a life all their own. And I would say that the 16s look like two teams that belonged in the tournament, and the 11s look like an NIT game last night.
Absolutely. I thought the same thing. That Howard game was phenomenal. Great scoring. Big tickets cashed in that from props, which we'll get to coming up. It was a rock fight with NC State and Texas. And I think the most disappointing part of it, I was really looking forward, Vital finally on a tournament game with Barkley, and they're talking about everything but the game in front of them. I couldn't believe it. I was so disappointed. I saw people
on Twitter saying that they absolutely loved what was going on.
Oh, come on. That is not the time to talk about what issues to fix and what's wrong with the sport and the NC2A needs to do this. And oh, by the way, what do you think? Who do you like if Kansas plays St. John's? You got a game going on right in front of you.
Okay.
That's outrageous to me. And poor Brian Anderson doesn't have a voice.
Yeah, I heard that a little bit.
Now, what happens there? How do you start the tournament? He's got nothing in the tank already.
Well, I don't know what you can do to fix that. Oh, I mean, I've heard of remedies from people that swear by, like, hot water with lemon. I don't know. You could just have a kind of a cough drop with you at all times, but not when you're talking and calling the game. Oh. I would say this. As I've gotten older, I have become absolutely among the best, I would say, at watching the game with either no volume on or really not even paying attention to what is being said. And I'm not saying that as a... I don't love to rip on broadcasters. It's just really not my thing. Although certainly I like a lot of them, some more than some others. But it's just, I also have a 1-year-old kid. So it's almost like Mission Impossible for me to get the TV on my own for 2 or 3 hours every single night and just completely lock in. So I can see what you're saying because I did hear it with Anderson's lack of voice. Other people said they thought it was really entertaining. So
that's not the forum, though. No, that's not the platform. There's a tournament game going on you're supposed to call.
There's one guy that could get away with that. It was Bill Walton.
You're right. At one point, they even said, hey, we got a game going on here. I mean, that's crazy.
I saw them deliver the pizza and the hot dog to Barkley, who looks like he lost a full human being, actually, recently.
Yeah, is that velvet?
I'm draped in velvet today.
Unbelievable.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it feels good. Good for you.
Stormy said on the way out, I should have saved the good stuff for at least the first day of the tournament. Now I got to top this tomorrow.
Excellent. Excellent. Good for you.
So what do you want to... I have a couple of bets on these games, and I will break them down here, but do you have anything in pocket as of right now?
Well, tonight, this reminds me a little bit of the Fiesta Bowl years ago with Boise State and Oklahoma, where it was a big deal for the little guy, and what if Boise State was blown out? Can they hang? Did they belong on this stage? It's one of the best football games I've ever seen. Hook and ladder, Statue of Liberty. They win the game and they beat up Oklahoma in the trenches. Adrian Peterson was on that team. It became a referendum that day on the little guy. And since they became a juggernaut program, I feel the same way tonight with the Miami of Ohio. For that level, not all mid-majors, but for that level, if they're not competitive tonight, they probably ruin it for a lot of programs moving forward that would have 29-1, 30-2, those type of records. Where are they in? Are they in the first four? What's their seed if this would happen again? So the I told you so people are ready to come out.
Oh my God, they already have it dialed up and ready to go on
social
media.
Right. So it doesn't qualify anymore, number one, because it was 8.5 and now it's down to 7.5 and lower in some spots. Last year in the tournament, favorites of 8 points or more were 21-0 straight up. That's the best since 07 when they went 22-0. But from a team that, do they belong? Absolutely. They shouldn't be in the first four. But the other question is, can they compete? And that's the question tonight. Doug Kazarian always used to say that hustle is a skill. I think being able to win close games and finding a way to win all these close games is also a skill. and a great trait that they have. So even though you look at the non-con SOS, which was so bad in the 340s, they found a way to win all these games. The big boy wouldn't play him. And I think they have can totally come in loose tonight with the game in their backyard, and they're catching a perfect opponent. Probably the one team, if you want to argue, shouldn't be in would be SMU, that they lost five of their last six and didn't have a lot of success once they got outside of the non-con and had some bad losses, including getting run out at Stanford, lost at Cal, lost to Syracuse. I think Miami of Ohio can win this game, and I'm rooting for them.
So you're going to get a lot of results-based opinions tonight on the game. As you said, they're ready to rock and roll. If they get blown out, a lot of people are going to come out and say, told you so, they don't belong. Uh-huh. If they are competitive and or they win the game tonight, a lot of people on the other side will say, see, they belong. I'm going to say it right now. It needs to be said right now. Regardless of the outcome of tonight's game, Miami of Ohio absolutely 1,000,000% deserves to be in the tournament. End of story.
Yeah.
Case closed. We're moving on. SMU, very good offensively, especially in the ACC. Their weakest link is certainly on defense. 16th overall out of 18 ACC teams in adjusted defensive efficiency and effective field goal percentage defense allowed. 17th in three-point percent defense. They were 0-6 in quad 1A games. They're also, Eric Haslam has a metric that is called the away-from-home metric. So rotor neutral. SMU is bottom 50. The University of Dayton Arena is within an hour of Miami's campus. Mm-hmm. And this team has been sensational offensively the entire year. Here's what I did. I played Miami first to 10, plus 135, first to 15 at plus 138, and first to 20 at plus 154. Can I lose all three? Of course I can. Can I win all three?
Uh-huh.
Potentially, but why can't they come out of the gates just blazing with the three-point shot?
Yeah, it's a great matchup.
Or hitting whatever they're taking anyway overall, although down low it's going to be tough because SMU has that dude that's 7'2". But that's the angle that I'm taking with the game tonight.
They are bad defensively, and Miami scores 92 a game. So it could be a fascinating, entertaining game, much like we started with the Howard game. Both teams to score 85 plus 280. 40 points each half, both teams 6-1. 90 points, both teams 6-1. 125-1. Not going to fall over if it's 105-100, something like that as well.
I bet that both teams to score 80 in the wrong game last night.
Yeah, right.
They couldn't hit anything.
That was surprising.
But the first game did get there, first to 80. Yeah. Didn't bet that one, but...
Well, so Ryan Kramer was so good yesterday in his four things, his criteria on why to bet first half unders. I would remove in this game body clock, but replace it with the unfamiliarity of the balls. There's not a universal basketball,
right,
and they're overinflated. You've seen the videos of the bounce of the ball and the thing's going up to the top, how high it is, juiced up. So that's also a problem, and I know you have more info on that, but you've discussed this many years about certain teams use these balls and the unfamiliarity about the balls, and that could maybe factor into a low-scoring game, too, with the first half unders as well, in addition to what he talks, body clock, nerves, unfamiliar opponent, and court, what he said yesterday.
So I have a buddy who has been tracking this now for a bunch of years in the NCAA tournament with the basketball. Again, I'm not at liberty to give away the recipe here. Bottom line, the plays were 1-1 last night. The first game was Maryland-Baltimore County to cover. They did not. The second game was Texas. They did. The plays tonight that qualify would be Miami and SMU under. However, that number has come down at some books at least 2.5 points. It was 78. I know when he was betting it, it's now 75.5, 76 around there. And the other play right away was Lehigh -1 in the first half only. And now that is up to 1.5 pretty much everywhere. And they are like as high as -150 on the money line at some books just to win the first half. So 1-1 last night. We'll see how these plays go tonight. But you're right. I mean, there might be something there too with those super inflated balls, overinflated balls. And it did not affect or impact the first game last night. But the second game, there was a huge issue, and maybe that's where the first halves come into play, where you want to bet these first halves under anyway. Ryan Kramer, as you said, talked about that. And the other one would be maybe they just get used to it after halftime. And that's maybe taking a peek at second half overs would be something to do with it.
Yep. They shot the ball well, but also the pace was crazy in the first game. And if you tell me Baltimore County is going to score 83 points, but they can't win the game, I was surprised by that. I would say the lowest rated power, the lowest rated team in the tournament's Prairie View. While it's a great story, they only won 5 games 2 years ago. They have covered 11 in a row, but they were in the, they were the 8 seed in the SWAC tournament, and then cashed at 40-1, came out of nowhere and upset everybody. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you on Lehigh, and this is a game Lehigh should win. But, you know, strange things can happen in this game, and Prairie View playing with a ton of confidence and covered 11 in a row, even though their numbers were so bad the last couple of years.
Yeah, this was one of the first games I wanted to bet when the brackets were revealed on Sunday. They were slow to pop here in Las Vegas, and I was looking at Lehigh nationally at like 1.5. I'm like, oh, I'd like that 1.5 in pocket. So I'm not going to force a bet on this team for the full game because I'm not betting 3, 3.5 when it was 1.5. And I'm not, I don't have any interest in laying $1.60 on the money line, quite frankly.
Sounds good.
That's where we stand tonight.
Yes. And for the winner of the second game, a double-digit seed has reached the Sweet 16 every year since 2008.
All right.
So a lot of people making the case for 11s. And there's already love for Texas against BYU, and that spread's low.
Yeah, this show is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now you can win a free trip worth up to $10,000 during March Madness with King of March. Use the code VSINMM. Up next, we're going to dive into unique tournament and player props. You can bet on whether or not Darren Peterson will take himself out of a game, the biggest comeback victory in the first round, and I found yet another prop that has gone under its current number 13 out of the last 15 years. Find out which one. Next.
Hey, let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have gone crazy with this one. For $29.99, you get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks throughout the tournament, public betting data for every single game, sharp tools, projections, articles, and more, which means every day you wait is an opportunity missed. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. Now back to the show.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Coming up in 15, Jeff Seely on the program, Best Bets with the Valspar coming up this week on the PGA Tour. More props, and these are always fun to talk about this week. I told you about the one yesterday, largest margin of victory that I bet under 45.5, 22-3 under that number since the year 2000. You can find these offshore. BetOnline is good at doing this. I think some others have them as well. They have most combined points in the first round. This year, Paulie, it's 189.5. It was 179.5 in previous years, 182.5 last year. It was 185.5 in 2022. It went way under last year, and two games did actually go over in 2024. But again, the number is always the key thing here. That is, overall, has not been, it goes under 189.5 way more than you would think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know we have some sexy matchups this year. We talked about maybe betting alt team total overs, and will each team score 100 in some of these games? But 189.5 just doesn't happen every year in the tournament.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
That's big.
The most points scored by one team in the first round is 100.5. That's about 50-50 going back. This one is good. The fewest combined points in the first round this year, again, because of the high totals that we have overall, that number is at 109.5. Well, let me remind you how low scoring some of these games can be in previous years. In fact, last year that prop was 102.5. It went over last year. The lowest scoring game was St. Mary's 59, Vandy 56. But with that current number on the board, 109.5, I went back to 2010. It's 13-2 under that number since 2010. And I'll remind you of some of the low scoring games. 2 years ago, Texas beat Colorado State 56-44. To begin the tournament in 2023, Pitt beat Iowa State 59-41. In 2022, Ohio State beat Loyola Chicago 54-41. This is the list that Wisconsin makes a lot. In 2016, they beat Pittsburgh 47-43. They played Wofford and won 53-49. This is 13-2 under 109.5 since 2010. What do you make of that number and these higher totals this year?
Yeah.
There's usually a massive stink bomb, man.
I don't see it this year. Not combined by a team. Yes, that I see. I could see a 16 or a 15.
Putting up 40 points?
Yes, that I can see. But but if you're playing a one or a two seed, I think they're going to get theirs. Well, so that's why I don't think, you know, Wisconsin's completely changed.
Sure,
they're up and they're, you know, a lot of those times it's Wisconsin games.
Bombing threes.
So, right. So maybe St. John's, Northern Iowa, but I can't see a rock fight that it's just, you know, one of those games that's like in the 50s. I don't see it.
Yeah, to your point, I would absolutely be on this one if the number was right, but they adjusted too much. The lowest point total by one team in the round of 64 is officially 44.5. Last year was 45.5. The year before that, 47.5. I would bet 47.5 under every single year because it's 13-2 under since 2010. And again, last year, SIU Edwardsville scored 40. The year before that, Colorado State scored 44. I mentioned the Iowa State game scoring 41, Loyola 41. Abilene Christian had a game with 44. Was the same year, 2016, Wisconsin scored 47, Hampton 45, Pitt 43. You get some just 2014 American score in the same bracket. American 35, Cal Poly scored 37, Wofford scored 40.
Damn.
And in the year before that, Montana, how bad was this tournament?
Yes.
Montana scored 34, Akron 42, New Mexico State 44, Wisconsin 46, and Northwestern 47. But 44.5, I can't play it under now this year.
This is too high. This is not the NBA. Biggest come-from-behind victory. First round. 18.5.
I'd go under that.
I thought that would mean for the tournament. That's just first round.
I think you have to go under that.
With all these big point spreads? Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to me. The first round only, 18.5. That's hard to do.
Yeah, think about the scenario.
We're playing 40 minutes as well.
How many games can that truly come from? I'll give you the 8-9. 7-10, a 6-11, maybe a 5-12. If you want to go as low as 4-13, because think about what has to happen there. Under either scenario, the dog, and we're talking about bigger dogs in the last, you know, since the last 40 years, or over the last 40 years than ever, the dog has to get out to a 19-point lead, then the favorite has to come back, or vice versa. Which dog's going to come back when they fall behind by 19 or 20 points?
Yep. That's too high.
I would agree.
There's another one. Will a one seed, we mentioned this briefly before we got off the air yesterday, will a one seed be losing or tied at halftime of the first round? No, minus $3. 31-point favorite, 30-point favorite, 27-point favorite. Come on. I can't see that happening either. I mean, it's just going to, you might look up and this might be 12-2 in all these games.
Yeah,
the other one too, maybe it's because the price is so high. I think when I was doing it during the break, it worked out. It's hard to put in a 12-team parlay, but I think it came out to minus $4. The Westgate, the South Point, every year they used to put up with a 16, 15, or a 14 win a game. They don't have it this year, maybe because it's so high.
Yeah.
I've not seen that offered. They win a game each seed, but not. They would always have it combined. Will a 16, 15, or 14 win a game? Cannot find it anywhere. But that's you agree, though? There's not going to be a one seed in a tussle.
I'm going to do some digging on this right now to find out.
If that happens, that's a big ticket that cashes.
Oh, no doubt. And by
the way, first half money line?
Here's the thing. This is a reminder. John Murray always points us out from the Westgate. And I'm not just talking about 16s against ones. We're talking about just dogs basically anywhere across the board in the bracket. He'll point out that people love betting them full game to win outright on the money line. Like a 12 versus a 5, obviously, very popular. As you said yesterday, even your mom knew that. But he said, why don't people bet him to win the first half? Mm-hmm. He said people should be betting these dogs to win the first half outright as well if they're going to bet him to win the game. Because that can happen. Not necessarily the 1 versus 16.
Yeah.
But you can still get a nice payday on this year, a 5 leading a 12 at halftime. Mm-hmm. Of course you can. That'll pay for some losers that you're going to have.
Right. Right. Now, there's a lot of star players. A lot of studs in this draft. And I know much has been made that Hawaii doesn't really use, they don't have help defense. So whoever's guarding Acuff is not going to have help. I mean, he might put you in the blender and it's over. Most points by one player in the first round, 35.5. A lot of talented guys. But that's also a high total. And will someone score 36 points? And will someone take a bunch of shots?
I like the next one, by the way, to go over.
Rebounds?
I like most rebounds. Somebody's going to have 14 rebounds.
Okay. Assists is 8.5. Three-pointers is 5.
Who goes off to get 6? 5 would be a push. They did not put a hook on that.
Yeah, that's high, too. 6 threes? Ooh. And will Peterson take himself out of a game? Yes, 10-1. Is that good? That's not bad, though. I was thinking that maybe it would be lower than that. But still, after...
You want to take a flyer on that? Is that... That's whole tournament, by the way.
I know. You never know. Something could happen. Sure, oh, no. Injury, hammy, something. Oh,
I would think that qualifies, right? What's the fine print here?
Yeah.
If he has the cramps again, he comes out of the game. Okay, I just did a quick prompt on ChatGPT. I asked for the overall amount of times that a one seed has been leading at halftime.
Trailing
at halftime against a 16 seed. We've had a total of 160 matchups since 1985.
Okay.
We're talking about...
I think Memphis was down 1 year.
They spit back only 2 teams have ever trailed.
What?
Louisville against Morehead State, 2009.
Yeah.
2019, North Carolina against Iona. UNC was trailing 38-35 at halftime before they pulled away. Is that it? Illinois in 2005 is a one seed. They went and played for the national title before they lost to North Carolina against Fairleigh Dickinson. Yeah. They led by 1 point.
Okay.
That's the list that they gave me.
Well, if that's true, that's strong.
Then you got to play the $3.
Right.
I mean.
Right. Well, I do. I think Memphis was tied then that 1 year. Wasn't Georgetown a one against Princeton? Wasn't that? I guess that maybe very late. Okay. Follow the Money brought to you by ProfitX. March Madness can take you anywhere in the world. King of March, their tournament contest, ProfitX, free trips worth up to $10,000 up for grabs. Win 10 pregame spreads of totals across the 67 tournament games and hit your volume goal to get entered. 1,000 in volume, you're in for the 5K trip. 10,000 in volume, you're in for the 10K trip. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, covered. Download ProfitX now. Use code VSINMM. Become King of March. Code VSINMM. ProfitX now. King of March. Get there. Be a part of it. Good luck.
Surprisingly, Maryland, Baltimore County, and FDU in 2023, I guess they were not leading at halftime.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it's telling me here. I could go back and look at the box score, obviously, but...
Yeah, I stand corrected. That was the biggest upset in tournament history. I thought it was Norfolk State. It was FDU over Purdue.
That's right.
23.5 points.
Yep. Our buddy, Jeff Seeley, on the program coming up next. We do have another event. Nice field. On the PGA Tour this week, he'll join us to give our best bets with analysis at the Valspar Championship coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
See, this is why you absolutely must double check AI. When I did that in the previous segment, and I asked, give me the all-time teams as a one seed to be trailing at halftime to a 16 seed, they gave me some false information. They said only 2, and they were wrong with one of them. Louisville did not trail Morehead State as a one seed. Princeton did lead Georgetown by 8.
There you go.
Iona did lead North Carolina. They had that one, but Fairleigh Dickinson also led Purdue a couple years ago.
Clean it up, guys.
Come on.
All right.
Get that straight, huh?
Good.
All right, we head out to the Progressive guest line. Longtime friend of the show, Jeff Seeley, joins the program now. His podcast is called the Cutmaker Podcast, coming out a little bit later on tonight. Follow him on X at Cutmaker Jeff. All right, we get the Valspar, Jeff, and thanks for popping on as always. What are some of the keys to know for the course heading into it?
Yeah, guys, it's kind of a unique setup this week at Innisbrook. We've got water on 9 holes, which isn't that big of a deal, but it's interesting in that we've got 5 par threes and 4 par fives. So it's a little bit unique in that instance. So you want to certainly look at par three scoring a little higher than you most a lot of weeks. But overall, I mean, look, this is a good tournament that in the Florida swing that I think course form usually holds pretty well to par here. So I'm excited about this, and a lot of the guys we're going to talk about have had good success here.
All right. So Matt Fitzpatrick nearly pulled it off last week. He did not. But as always, Jeff, we've said this since like the pandemic, golf delivers every single week. It was a very dramatic ending between him and Cameron Young. Do you want to run it back with Fitzy this week?
Yeah, guys, I mean, he's 15-1 now, and he took fifth here in 2022. I mentioned, course history, and again, as you mentioned, he kind of gave it away at the Players. But his form was really solid, coming in third on approach, second around the greens, and third in total strokes gained in 2026. So he opened at 18-1. He's come down since then. But some people might be surprised to see him as the second lowest name on the board, but I do expect him to bounce back from a late fail last week, and I think he'll be in the conversation on Sunday again. I actually played him, guys. I played him in the each-way market, top five each-way market, because I think that's probably the best value this week, opportunity-wise.
Explain to the audience what that means again, Jeff.
Sure. So you can, if you make an each-way bet, let's say it's a $25 each-way bet, it's going to cost you $50, and what it does is it gives you the opportunity to play both, to have the win, so you get paid full if you win. But if your golfer finishes second, third, fourth, or fifth, just like say Matt Fitzpatrick did at the Players, then you get paid a fraction, a percentage of that bet, depending on where they finish in the top five. So it's a way. It's basically like betting a win and a top five. Only it's just an easier way to do it. So you get paid depending on where they finish in the top five as well. So not every book offers it, but Bet365 is the one that does, and that's where I bet it this week.
Okay. Tell us about some guys who are in great form and what you want to keep riding, because we've talked about many times how current form is important to you.
You're not kidding. And Bridgman this week, guys, looks unbelievable. Jacob Bridgman, T5, T18, win, T8, T18. Those are Jacob Bridgman. He's 22-1 in his last five results. His form third here last year, and there was a ton to like about him a lot this week. So in my model coming in total strokes gained in 2026 and second in strokes gained putting. So I you can find him better than 2-1 top 10 in the ties pay full market. And that's the primary way I'm going to bet him and sprinkle a little on the outright.
Okay.
Am I nuts, by the way? I added him as he was winning that tournament a while back this year. I added him in, I think, at 151 to win the Masters. What do you think of that?
It's a good price. I mean, I like him. I like him a lot. And his form's unbelievable. I'm going to be looking at him also as top rookie in the Masters this year as well. That's another market. A couple of guys like him I'm going to be looking at. And then, guys, we talked about form. I mean, Koepka, I sent out a play on my Telegram channel for Koepka at 42-1 on Sunday. That price has come way. Form looks really good. Last two events in Florida, good indicators of what I expect to see more of this week. Last two events, he gained over 7 strokes total and an average of 5 strokes on approach. The irons are dialed in. He actually gained almost 3 strokes putting at the Cognizant, but then fell victim to some putting regression last week. So I think back-to-back finishes inside the top 15 are encouraging. He took T12 here last time he played. So I played a little on Koepka on the outright, as I mentioned, a 42-1. And I took a bigger bet, top 20, at plus 120. So like him a lot, and I expect that he's going to win before the Masters. I'm very encouraged with what I've seen out of Koepka.
Good form from Smotherman. What price, and state the case for Smotherman?
Yeah, guys. I mean, he ranks ninth in my model, and there's a ton to like. 7th in total strokes gained, 4th in good drive percentage, 11th on approach in 2026. Finished T13 at the Players, 2nd at the Cognizant, at T8 at the American Express this year. So he's got shown form all over the country. Putting is not great, but if he can get just a little like he did at the Cognizant, I think he could be in for a big week. I played him top 20 plus 180 and a little on the outright, and I love his Sasatune this week. I played him early Monday morning at 50-1, and the prices come crashing down all the way to 35. The reason is pretty simple. He comes in third tee to green, ninth off the tee, ninth on approach, fifth in ball striking. His last five events, he's made every cut and has 3 finishes inside the top 15. So he's not a good putter, but if he can have some spike putting weeks like we saw at the Pebble and the Waste Management, if he can have a spike putting week there, look out. Love him, top 20 as well. I bet him a plus 150.
Give us a couple bombs.
Sure, guys. Billy Horschel, Billy Ho, comes in third in total strokes gained at this course over the last 5 years. He makes for an amazing bomb play this week. Took 5th at this event last year and 12th in 2024. And now we get him off a T13 at the API where he putted the lights out. I got Billy Ho at 110-1. I'm going to play him top 20. And another guy, all the things I said about his Sasatune, you could say about David Ford, who's 130-1. Comes in ninth tee to green, 10th off the tee, 3rd on approach, 2nd in ball striking in 2026. Really amazing stats for a guy who's 130-1. Has 2 top 20s already this year, so I can see a path to a top 20 again. His top 20 price is plus 340. So him and Billy Ho both had better than 3-1. I love a top 20 plays.
All right, buddy. Great breakdown as always. Thanks so much for the time, and the Cupmaker podcast is coming out a little bit later on tonight. Good luck in the golf and with the tournament this week, okay?
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Jeff Seely on the Progressive guest line. Okay, so when's the last time you shot hoops, by the way? Been over under 4.5 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm trying to think when we did the, when I played that WNBA player one-on-one.
Oh my God, that's 15 years at least.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, gotta be.
And then when did I do it? I did a 3-point contest too for the radio station.
If we go out.
I can shoot.
What?
I used to be able to shoot.
So I actually shot hoops the other night.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And let me tell you, it was first time in a while, I looked like Texas and NC State last night.
Yeah.
The ball was not exactly dropping right away. Now, eventually the muscle memory came back and the shots were dropping more frequently later on as I was shooting around. But how long do you think it would take for you to pick up your shot? Because, Paul, I had not shot a basketball in quite some time.
Yeah.
And it's like, I hope nobody's watching me right now because there was brick after brick after brick to begin. I'm not David Dineen, who's like,
yeah, no,
that dude is in the contest here at VSIN with the college. He won it actually a couple years ago. He goes out like every single year and he takes video of making 10 threes in a row. And does it every single year.
What if you don't golf for like 5 years?
Forget it.
Would your swing, your tee shot be atrocious?
Oh my God, yeah, okay. Way worse than Obear looked the other day.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is like riding a bike.
Yeah.
I have not ridden a bike in a while. I can ride a bike right now if I had to hop on one. Go out there and put a 5-iron within 4 feet of the hole. Not happening. Drain a 27-footer like the old days. I'm not Al Bundy.
I won a Knights of Columbus free throw shooting contest once. Walked up, no warm ups, hit 14 in a row, 14 of 15, and won it.
Very good.
That was that.
You were how old?
That was high school, I think.
Yeah.
But that's
maybe even younger than that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I can understand. I can see that, though. If I go out right now, how ugly it would be.
Yes.
Probably guaranteed airball. If you're serious about betting this March, meet Edge Boost, the Visa debit card and bank account built specifically for gamers. No more declined deposits. No waiting on bank transfers. Edge Boost gives you real-time access to your funds 24/7, 365, even on nights, weekends, and holidays. Use it across your favorite books and DFS platforms. Earn up to 0.5% cash back on eligible deposits and access up to $1 million in daily deposit limits. No fees and no minimums. New users sign up with code VSIN, and Edge Boost will match your first deposit up to $50. Smarter way to manage your gaming bankroll. EdgeBoost.bet, code VSIN. EdgeBoost.bet, code VSIN to get started today.
So what happens if they expand the tournament and we have more games like yesterday and today?
You like Human's idea?
Play one in Vegas each night?
Yes. Cap it off in Vegas?
Here's the thing.
It's not bad. I don't know if I agree with him. I'm not saying this is a lock that they're going to expand.
There's
too much pushback and there's too many bad teams that would get in. Look at Auburn. Who wanted to see Auburn in a tournament? I mean, they were first four out. They were game over 500.
Even money, I would bet they're going to expand.
I'm not sure about it. I don't think that's a good number.
Win-lose up next. Bruce Pearl was on VSIN by the books this morning and discussed his most vulnerable number one seed in the tournament. Hear it next.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
World Baseball Classic Venezuela, 18-1 to win it all. Big upset and Abreu anytime home run, 5-1. Dogs barking in the NIT. The favorites weren't motivated. Dogs 7-1 ATS, Liberty, and UNC Wilmington outright. seemed hard for Navy to get up the off the mat after what happened, how they lost too. UMBC Howard props. Will Howard go on a 10-0 run? Yes, plus 175. Each team scores 75 points. Yes, plus 380. Each team scores 80 points. 9-1. Both teams, 35 points each half, plus 750. Texas NC State under 162.5 to 157.5. NBA favorites crushed it. 8-0 straight up. Hornets, Heat over. 233 up to 238. A little bit of revenge for the Hornets after they lost their home to Miami last time out. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in, we'll put you on. This is at the D. This is Evan, great bartender. What are we talking, 20 shots here? Between the legs, look how he pours all these shots, how they're coming out, like two, three at a time. He's just going to run the gamut here and run the lot right on the bar as it comes out on the side. Look at that talent. What's he got? How many he's holding up there? How it comes out in all the shots. That is talent. That's creativity. That's how you make a drink. A+. I can't. How many years of practice and how you're able to pull that off?
Yeah, no kidding. By the way, the people paying for the shots and that you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
Like, boy, that's awesome.
Strong. Yeah,
that you're having strong. A good time.
Yep. That is good. This one's strong, too. We've showed the bulldog before. Going after the trash can. This dog's got a problem with the trash can. He's coming
inside
in.
Inside the house.
Yeah, fighting the trash can. A lot of times the bulldog will go on his walk and knock everyone over that he sees. This guy inside having a problem with it. I think he's trying to get inside, beating it up.
Somebody definitely hit a treat or a toy in there on him.
Could have been, yeah. Yeah, right. We got another one later in the week where the guy is pulling one where he takes out the trash can, dumps it over. It was incredible. Our dog has a rare condition, this owner says. When he gets scared, he freezes. He sees the cat, and watch this. This rolls over. Have you ever seen that before?
What?
Can you believe this? Yes. He's playing, excited, but then he gets scared. He sees the cat. The cat comes at him, and he plays dead. And he just goes limp. His body stops, and he falls down.
Now, is this AI? Is this fake? I was duped today on a dog video. I was going to retweet.
Okay. I got you. Well, yeah.
And I read the comments, and they're like, just knock it off. This is absolutely fake. This one looks too good to be true, Paul.
All right. I think that's
good. What?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you see how slow he goes all of a sudden?
Interesting.
Yeah, there's something there, right. I think.
Fair enough.
I'm calling BS.
Fair enough. Lose some. Suns plus 8 down to 3.
God, I hope it's not.
Send that to me, Luke. I'll put that up on Instagram. Suns plus 8 down to 3 and 228 down to 221. No good. T-Wolves take them out. Founded in 2011, the Sharp Plays just completed another dominant run, including a 2025 campaign that saw bankrolls doubled, 15 straight years of winning, all documented. Records and logs posted publicly, sharpplays.com. Something that separates the Sharp Plays from most of the betting industry. All the records and everything documented. AI tools, great sources, identifying price value before the numbers shift. Respected, watched, and feared. Start winning with them. Sharpplays.com and the daily tweets with Mr. Poison. Fade or follow sharpplays.com. Luke did some more digging on the one seeds trailing at halftime.
It's way more than what ChatGPT told me, the way it looks.
Yeah.
So they sent back two to me when I did that, the cursory digging about 20 minutes ago. It looks like we're going to have 7, 8, 9, something like that. By the way, Garcia to win the World Baseball Classic MVP was 6% at prediction markets before the game started. A lot of people pissed off that DeRosa did not go to Mason Miller at a tie game. The Padres had control of that.
Yeah, right.
And evidently he was only allowed to come into the game if it was a save situation. The teams took control of the pitchers.
Yeah.
For people who do not know.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them, by the way.
Uh-huh.
By the way, side note.
Uh-huh.
That was the either cockiest or longest run around the bases after a home run I've ever seen. Harper better be careful.
Yeah.
He might get one at the wrong guy if he faces him this year.
Uh-huh.
Might get one between the eyes.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
It was an awesome moment. But.
Yeah. So we've asked guests this before and during this week about who's the most vulnerable one seed. I think it's a good question.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair question. On by the books, Bruce Pearl was on this morning, and they asked him, and his answer might surprise you. Here's Pearl earlier.
Well, I would think that Duke could be. They've got the toughest road to the Final Four, I think, of all these teams. It's just a blue blood. I mean, it's a murderous row when you're talking about Michigan State, UConn, Connecticut, and St. John's as a five. It is like that's going to be really hard. I think it's going to be really hard. And I think given the fact that Duke's got some injuries, I'm a huge John Shire fan. Every chance I get to tell America, you know, this guy here is the fastest to 125 wins than any coach in college basketball. You know, Brad Stevens did it at Butler and then Mark Few at Gonzaga. At Duke, John Shire has gone, well, it's like 125 and like 20, something crazy like that. 83% wins. I don't know that he gets there this year. I think St. John's has got a chance. Kansas has got a chance. It is a really a tough bracket.
Wow, that's super interesting because about an hour to 90 minutes before this show started, someone who I respect and is in the gambling space reached out to me and said, hey, what are you looking at? What can you find for me on Duke not to make the Sweet 16? And this person has some very real concerns as well about the team overall. The injuries, how that obviously that's the most obvious thing, but and how that breaks down overall defensively for Duke. And by the way, that answer was plus 505 here at Circa. Mm. They have on the no. I could not find them not to make the Elite Eight. I don't know where that's available. On the no. What do you think?
I think TCU could put a scare in them, but
so do I.
There are plenty of other people who say it's much ado about nothing. I don't know. That seems that's a big price though. So if he's strong on that, that's refreshing, as opposed to what's going to be a cakewalk for all these one seeds and the combined wins and minus as high as minus 285 here for them to win it as
sure.
One seed. So I would think the scare would arrive of the winner against St. John's, Kansas.
I think so too.
Mainly St. John's.
Agreed.
I think that'd be tough. I know he's covered 14 in a row, but you got to be concerned with what you've seen from UConn. That's another one, too.
Well, I would also say that the reason why I would actually say that Duke, you put these in any order that you would like, Duke, Arizona, Florida, because when you look at the possible four fives in the Sweet 16, as you said, Duke getting St. John's or Kansas will not be easy. Arizona against, if they have to play either Arkansas or Wisconsin, probably not going to be easy. Both those teams are really good.
Yeah.
And if Florida has to play Vandy again, Vandy just killed them.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think Vandy's going to be scared of playing the defending champs? Of course not. That's why I like Michigan's draw so much.
Yeah.
I think that the upper region for Michigan is a joke. And I can't believe that they were gifted that path. It's embarrassing if Michigan doesn't go on a serious run this year. I will say, what would the narrative be around Michigan if they close the season like they started? Like if you flip their year?
Well, reminiscent of Florida last year. Florida had a ton of hype. A lot of people love Florida because of how they closed this
sure.
in the conference tournament.
Yeah. And then Michigan would have, in theory, then would have started the year, a couple losses, maybe struggling out of the gate. And then if they closed the Big Ten play in the tournament by winning games by like 40 points, they'd be everybody's yeah. pick to win the whole thing.
Well, let's see if we get an upset first and foremost, right yeah. off the bat. I mean, again, that's last year, teams laying 8 points or more, 21-0 straight up. And then favorites from the Sweet 16 on went 14-1 straight up.
Oh, man.
So this is, you're not getting the upsets here. And that's been the sweet spot, like eight.
Favorites from the Sweet 16 on last year, 14-1 straight up. So there was a pick 'em.
That's from Evan Abrams, yeah.
14-1.
Yeah.
Ugh, boy.
And how strong it was a couple years ago, to whatever year that was. A couple years ago, yeah, I think when it was Sweet 16 and on what happened. And that Saturday-Sunday schedule, going from Sweet 16 down to Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
McNeese, 25-0 straight up when leading at the half or tied. And High Point, 14 in a row, 22-1 straight up run. When Wisconsin's been favored by more than 7 in the tournament, 11-0 straight up.
Wow.
Yeah, that
I would not have guessed
me.
That.
That surprised me too.
All right, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Survivor strategy next. Teams to use or avoid early. tempting teams you want to use, but you have to save, and more with VSiN.com managing editor Adam Burke. Next.